The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place, to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. It's been 4 weeks already since daylight saving time ended, but somehow that adjustment to our clocks, combined with the days getting shorter and shorter, well, it has really messed me up this year. Maybe you've experienced it too. The sun has set, you've finished whatever you had on your agenda for the day, changed into comfy clothes, eaten some dinner, and then you look at your watch or phone. 7:15? What? No, it has to be later than that. It's been dark for hours. I'm ready to go to bed. In order to survive and thrive, we humans have to continually absorb, process, and interpret an incredible amount of information about the world around us. Sounds, smells, sights, emotions, ours and other people's. What our internal clock, the circadian rhythm, is telling us. What our sense of direction, good or bad, is telling us. So it's no wonder that we get a bit disoriented every once in a while. We turn left at an intersection when we should have turned right to get where we're going. We wake up from a deep sleep and for a few moments aren't certain whether it's morning or afternoon, Wednesday or Saturday. Today, we beloved children of God kick off the season of Advent. And it is a most disorienting time for us. In Advent, we talk of new growth when everything around us appears to be dead. The leaves have fallen, the trees are bare, the flowers and plants that graced our gardens have been wilted by frost or ripped out of the ground and disposed of. The long months of winter's bleakness and desolation still lie ahead, and yet, we of the community of faith speak of pregnancy and life and hope. Advent is a disorienting new beginning coming before it seems it should. Quietly and without much fanfare, other than changing our paraments to the color blue and pulling out the Advent wreath, We start a brand new church year this first Sunday in December, weeks and weeks before the secular world will say goodbye to 2024 with parties and champagne and get out those fresh 2025 calendars. But perhaps what's most disorienting for us about Advent is that it stands in such sharp contrast to what's happening around us. Around us, Christmas carols are playing on the radio and on store loudspeakers, holiday movies and specials, Elf, It's a Wonderful Life, and the like, have been airing on network and cable TV stations for weeks now. Classics, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, and Frosty the Snowman are in the NBC lineup for this week. Commercials show the toys and food and events of the season, and through all of it runs a common thread. This is a time of love and joy and peace and goodwill and family and lots of those kind of warm, fuzzy feelings. And yet, on this first Sunday of Advent, we in the church hear a gospel reading full of distressing and jarring images. We hear Jesus proclaim that one day there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Be on guard, Jesus tells us. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. These words of warning are part of a long passage from the Gospel of Luke in which Jesus has all sorts of stunning things to say about the future, about holy temples being destroyed, nations rising against nations, earthquakes and famines and plagues, Jesus' followers being betrayed by their own family members. Happy Advent and Merry Christmas! I mean, talk about disorienting. Out there is red and green and full of holiday cheer, and in here it's blue and apocalypse. And so we might be tempted to just kind of gloss over the season of Advent and move on promptly to shepherds keeping watch, angels announcing glad tidings, and wise men paying homage. But if we do that, we miss the gift of our Advent pilgrimage. For Advent gives us, in the midst of the busyness, bleakness, and deepening darkness of this time of year, Advent gives us the chance to reflect, to prepare, to pray, to hope. Advent gives us the chance to be not only disoriented, but reoriented. Now, after listening to Jesus' words in our gospel reading this morning, we might think that we are supposed to be reorienting ourselves to world events, looking to them for signs of the end times. We know people have done that throughout history, making predictions that the end is near based on conflict in the Middle East, check, or an approaching comet, a certain alignment of planets, were catastrophic natural disasters ravaging some corner of the world. We always go wrong when we try to figure out the mystery of God's plan for creation. For when we get caught up in the when, the what, or the how, we forget the most important thing, the who. The who is what Advent is all about. God. God, who long, long ago promised to deliver us and all of creation from sin and death. God, who invited a young woman to say yes to the invitation to be part of this story of salvation. God, who took on flesh and blood and bone, the babe born in Bethlehem, divine glory laid in a manger. This is the God of Advent and of every season, every moment. The God who is and who was and who is to come. So stand up and raise your heads. Our redemption draws near.